friend Terry Wilder with John Foltz. Thank you, that was sweet. Yay, so here we go. I've been off so long, I'm like, what am I doing now? Oh, right, this is where I talk. Okay, just kidding. So, this is an interesting moment in time for me. And so the talk today is the heart as great as the world. And so this quote came from, it came when I was preparing. As many people know, I've shared over and over again that I prepare topics and titles and kind of where I'm headed way far in advance. And then God only knows that week what's going to happen, right? So this is part of a quote from Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson. And the quote is this: "His heart was as great as the world, but there was no room in it to hold the memory of a wrong." I love that. I'm going to say it again. His heart was as great as the world, but there was no room in it to hold the memory of a wrong. Now, this was the opening quote to one of the chapters of the book for the month. And I have to say, I'm loving this Butterworth book so much, not just because I'm married to a man named Butterworth, but I love this book so much that we're going to extend working with it into September. So this is a two-month book that we're going to work with, I think. I guess, yeah. But anyway, so I started this, I was inspired by this quote, but I had never heard this Emerson quote. Now, I am not an Emerson expert, but I've been living with Ralph Waldo Emerson since I was in high school, basically, I feel like. So I went on a search to find it, and surprisingly enough, it took me a long time to find this quote. And this quote comes from one of his essays, a lesser-known essay to me, maybe you know it better, but on greatness. It's not in his Emerson essays book, it's in his original collection works or something like that. But this was a quote that he ascribed to Abraham Lincoln. He said about Abraham Lincoln that he had a heart as great as the world, but there was no room in it for the memory of a wrong. I thought that was beautiful. And so what it spoke to me, though, was about how in this moment in time, we are called to stretch to have a heart that's greater than the world, right? We're walking around in this world with all of this chaos going on and everything that's happening here. And it takes a little bit of stretching, maybe, to understand it, to be with it, to hold it. I've been with a lot of people over the last while that have been getting a little bit of energetic fatigue, maybe, over the challenges of the world right now. And so that's where I was headed with this, and I was trying to write the sermon from that, and I kept saying, okay, I'm going to write this sermon, and that's what I'm going to do, and I studied the book, and I figured out what Butterworth was saying about it, and all these things, and it was all about forgiveness, and that's all great. But in the middle of all of this, I'm going to share that this week, my spiritual teacher of 20 years made her transition, Alice Bandy. Reverend Dr. Alice Bandy. And so in the middle of all of this, here's this big momentous experience in my life. And I kept trying to write this other talk and move that to the side. I said, okay, I love you, Alice. You need to be over here now, and I need to do my work. And I realized that wasn't going to happen. So I figured, okay, well, why don't I just write the little Alice Bandy talk, and I'll hold it for another time to share about her, and then I'll get back to my work, right? And God was like, yeah, no, this is what you're doing today. So today, what I wanted to share with you a little bit, and I've been thinking about and being with her a lot. Now, she was ill for a long time. We knew that it was coming. She made her transition this Wednesday, and it was a beautiful experience of an amazing spiritual presence who had the perfect transition for someone you would think who spent 30 years in the world of the spirit. It was peaceful and calm, and her son said it was beautiful and lovely, and we are blessing her onto her next experience. But what wanted to come through me today was an honoring of her in a way that the thing about Reverend Alice was that she was a teacher. And I came up, I met her, she was my first spiritual teacher back at Seaside. She trained me as a practitioner. I worked with her, we traveled together. We had this really wonderful, deep relationship for years. She was my dean when I was in the seminary, and then I became the dean. I stepped into her shoes afterwards, and we worked together in the organization for years. And adventures of the spirit, we used to call each other. And so what I was sitting with this week was the fact that that this quote so applied to her in a way that her intention and her way of being in the world was inspirational to, I'm going to say, thousands of students. And her teaching that went to her students, that went to their students, that went to their students. And so if you've been with me for any period of time, and even our new friends who've been here for 10 minutes, you've been touched by it, you've been blessed by Alice Bandy, I'll tell you that. And if you've been in any of my classes, you have heard her words come straight through me. Her teaching has become such a part of the fabric of my being that I don't think you could take the threads out. So this is what I thought, what came up was very clearly when I meditated and prayed and just opened to, okay, what do you want me to share today, were three very simple teachings of hers that were at the core of who she was and the gifts that she gave. And I thought that today I would share a little bit of that with you, just those three things to honor her and to allow for this light that she was in the world to kind of pass on and pass on to you and through you. Reverend Alice used to say that she trained hundreds of ministers too, by the way, over the years, and seeded and inspired ministries all over the world, basically. And one of the things that she used to say all the time to us in the School of Ministry was, you're either a preacher or you're a teacher. She's like, you're either a teacher, or you're a preacher. And then she would look at me, and I'd go, I don't know. And she said, well, you get to choose, because you could be either. And so I've been walking the path of both worlds here, obviously, for a while, because I feel like even in my speaking and my preaching that I'm actually teaching, and I'm teaching her work that as it has been inspired. And I think of it as the washing machine of consciousness, that how it's been kind of spun through the spin cycle of Catherine coming out. So that's what my gift to you is today, is that I thought that we would look at some of this. A long time ago, there was a poem that went around that everybody liked called "Everything I Learned in Kindergarten." Right. So a long time ago, I changed that to "Everything I've Learned, I've Learned from Alice Bandy." And so today, I'm going to share just a couple of things from her just to honor her. But before I start that, I want to tell you a little bit about her. Alice was what you would call an absolutist. And anyone who's been in class, especially in a Goldsmith class, you know what that means. So an absolutist is someone who knows the spiritual laws are more real than anything else that exists. And there's no getting around it. An absolutist builds their life on spiritual principle, and there's nothing that pulls you off of that truth. And and she was a great example of that. And she held that level, that bar, for everyone who studied with her. Because every time we tried to sink into our insecurities, anytime you try to say, but you don't know what's really happening, that may be true, but you don't know what's really happening in my world, that doesn't hold water. Spiritual truth is spiritual truth, and we are called to build our life upon it. And so she was so dedicated to the spiritual knowing and these principles and this way of being and way of seeing life that there was no pulling her off of that. And when you were around her, you rose to that level, you matched her. And so when you were in her presence, you could see differently. You could know differently, and it was a gift. She could look at you and see your divine potential. And she'd never say anything about it. She could just look at you and she knew what was possible for you. And when she looked at you, you knew it too. Sometimes we would leave and then you'd kind of forget it. But when she saw you, she saw the truth of who you were completely. And she knew that everything that you wanted within your heart was possible for you. And it was a gift to be around her. Now, it was also hard because you can't hide when someone sees the potential and sees the truth. So you can't hide in your insecurities. You can't pretend that you're fine when you're not. And we used to say that she had this spiritual 2x4 and she would swing it. And we used to say, you know what, it only hurts for a minute and then you see the light. And that was the gift of her being able to see it from you, but it was also a very uncomfortable situation because when you were with her, you had to rise to your truth and you couldn't hide. And so it called all of us to a greater way of being. The third thing, and you can't not shine your light. And the thing that I loved about Alice so much is that she was able to put things in perspective that were difficult for us. So like when we were looking at stuff that was going on in the world, there was a way that she had such a great wisdom and way, a perspective of looking at what was happening in the world and be able to talk about the spiritual components to it, and it would make it okay. And that's part of the loss of it, is that in this time when we're kind of rocking and rolling, since she had pulled back as she was making her preparations to birth herself into the next evolution, that a lot of us have been saddened about missing that. But it's also causing us all to rise into our own knowing and our own ability to see the same thing. She gifted us with that. So I came up with three little things I'm going to talk about today that help us create our heart and stretch our heart to be as great as the world, because that's truly what we're called to be here. If you are in this room, if you have been called to be with us for any amount of time, you know that there is a spiritual component to your life, and some way you're realizing that that's more important than anything else. That's the key to our peace. That's the key to our freedom. That's the key to our joy. And so that is the most important thing. And so the first thing I wanted to share was this, is that our souls... This is my first big teaching from Reverend Alice Bandy, was that our souls have come to this life for an adventure. Your soul has come and incarnated in this life to be thrilled, to be delighted, to be in joy and expansion and expression. You have not come here to sit back, to lay back, to get in a rut, to be bored. The soul hates being bored. The soul has come to experience life, right? Isn't that true, right? I mean, that's why we're here. This is a world of delight. This is a world of joy. There is so many beautiful, amazing, magnificent parts of life. And so often we focus on the small, negative, whatever things, that we don't allow the soul to engage in life fully. And so every time we get into that downward spiral, I know we've all been there, that you get into that downward spiral that leads you to a place of apathy or despair, negativity, fear, limitation, you know you're going the wrong way. That's not feeding the soul. Your soul has come to expand, to engage, to experience life in its fullest. And that is what allows us to spiral up. We talk about spiraling up to expand who we've come here to be, and to open all sorts of possibilities and potential and pathways for us that we would never have seen. It's in that experience of diving deep into life. It reminds me, this week my daughter started school on Wednesday, and so on Monday and Tuesday I was trying to give her like summer, the last 2 days of summer. Let's do summer, you know, other than school shopping, which I hate, but summer, let's do summer. So I took her to the pool with a friend, and they were, and this is what reminds me of it, is they were running to the edge of that pool, and they would leap into it in the middle, like all of spread out, and belly flap, which I was like, oh, cow, whatever, but they loved it, and they kept running and jumping into the pool, right? And that's the image that I have of this, is that your soul wants to jump into your life. It wants to jump into life fully. It wants to experience, it wants to feel, it wants to know, it wants all of those amazing things that life brings. You have come here to delight the spirit that is your soul. Let's see what else I was going to say about that. Because what happens is this, is if you fall into that place of complacency, if you fall into that place of the rote routine over and over again, the same, what happens is that you move into a place of stagnation, and energetically, we know that we get ourselves into trouble. So when you get into that place, what happens is that that you start to create illness in the body. You start to create limitation and restriction physically. There's a huge conversation in our culture today about the fact that it also creates stagnation and difficulty in the mind. With all of this controversy over talking about mental illness, the truth is that what happens is that when we separate ourselves, when we pull back from life, when we think we're separate, when we cut ourselves off from our relationships and we move in fear, it changes the tone of your brain, the tone of your mind, the tone of your thinking. and it creates stagnation and illness in the mind. And so that's another example of pulling back and not engaging in life. And so that happens for us. Whatever causes us to contract, constrict, to separate, to pull back, essentially what we're doing is we're cutting ourselves off from God. Your soul has come to be an expression of the divine as you. Your soul has come to express an aspect of God that is uniquely yours in this world at this time. And this is a divine appointment. We have come to be together here. And so we all have a part to play in what's happening in the world. And it's our call to rise up, thank you, to engage in life and to share who we are, to shine our light in the way that we do it, so that we are able to support others in doing the same thing. Your light lights the person next to you, lights the person next to them, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and everybody's got fabulous hair. Remember that commercial? Okay. So we're called to engage. So this means that what we can do about that is that we engage in life in a new way. You know, yes, it's those things, driving down a different street on your way to the store, or trying new foods, or going a different place, or whatever. But there's a number of ways that we can do that. You want to engage in those things that speak to your soul. That's why nature and poetry and literature and all of those things that feed us inspire us. But so often in our day-to-day routines, we don't even create time or space for any of that. We need to nurture and feed our soul. I remember being in a class a million years ago with Alice once, and she was setting us up from the beginning of class that we were going to have a lot of homework and that we better just get ready for it. And we were all like, because we're all adults working and trying, and we're like, really, homework? Really, you're giving us that much homework? You know, and we had no idea what it was. At the end of class, she passed out the sheet with, here's your big homework assignment, you need to make sure you do it. You know, we're all like, oh, whatever. And it was, we had to go out and stand in the grass for 20 minutes every day. And let me tell you, not one person came back without having a transformative experience because of that. 1 week of 20 minutes a day standing in the grass, every single person had a major revelation, a major life shift, a major change, simply by engaging in nature to the core of our being, to our feet. We need to engage in a new way, in a different way, in that which is going to speak to your soul. Get to the beach. Go to the mountain. Read some Rumi. Read some Mary Oliver. Do something that's going to feed your soul. The other thing I love about Alice was that you can expand your consciousness through travel. She was a great traveler, and she and I went all over the world. We went to Africa, and we went to Greece. We went to London. We went to Costa Rica. We went to Hawaii. We did all these amazing spiritual journeys. And what I loved about traveling with Alice is that she just threw herself into the culture and said, "Let's go!" You know, our first trip was to Ghana. That was my first international trip, other than sneaking over the border to Canada to drink when I was 18. I went to Ghana, right? Oh my gosh, what an amazing experience. But it changes the way that we see the world, it changes the way that we see ourselves, and it expands our understanding of life and of God. And so if you haven't traveled lately, you need to travel. You need to change your perspective and try something new. Never mind trying new foods. There's so many possibilities here, but the whole idea is I want you to realize that your soul wants to be delighted. Your soul wants to be thrilled. Your soul wants beauty and excitement and passion, and you deserve all of those things. That's why you've been incarnated. That's why you are here. And so if there's not something right now in your life that is delighting you, I'm going to encourage you to find it, to find something that's going to give you the feeling, you know, that excitement, that awe. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science, said that life is not just something to be endured, it is to be lived in joy, in a fullness, without limit. And I found this from an author named Brooke Hampton, who I don't know who that is, but I love this. She said this, "No, we don't need more sleep. It's our souls that are tired, not our bodies. We need nature. We need magic. We need adventure. We need freedom. We need truth. We need stillness. We don't need more sleep. We need to wake up and live." The second thing I wanted to share with you is that what Alice lived by was that truly there were no limitations. None. There's no limitation. So don't even try it. Don't even try to come up with some reason why you can't do what you want to do or why you can't bring forward what you're called to. There's no limitation. There's nothing holding you back but you, and you need to get out of your own way. Again, that's spiritual 2x4. She was a loving presence, but she was clear. Especially when there's a desire in your heart. If there's a desire in your heart to do something, to experience something, to bring something forth, you need to heed it, because if you don't, there's trouble ahead. We cannot choose against our being. You cannot choose against your truth. You cannot choose against the desires that you have for your life, because if you do, there's only one path that you're going to walk down, and that's limitation, that's pain, and that's suffering. And as Alice always said, suffering is optional. Joy is the truth of who you are. So if you're suffering, you need to realize that that's not true for you. That's not the truth. You can choose it, but you can choose differently. You are not, if you're suffering in some area of your life, you're knocking up against a limitation that you have put there for yourself, and that's a belief. That's a belief that maybe is so solid that you think is so true that you can't get around. But that's why you need to find someone who can see the truth of who you are. That's why you need to find someone, and let me tell you, we've got 20 amazing practitioners who can sit down with you and see that there is nothing limiting you, that you are a child of God. You are the infinite incarnation of spirit, and you have been created by that infinite power that created the universe. And if that's true, then you have the creative power within you to bring forth anything you want, anything that is true for you. Where's the limitation? It's a false idea that we carry around with us. It's this baggage that we carry from the past. But remember, we're trying to have a heart as great as the world that doesn't have room for one negative thing in it. So if our heart is that big and we don't have any negativity in it, we're letting that baggage go. You got to let the past go. Because the past has no bearing on the truth of your creative power right now. The past has got you to this moment, but this is a moment of awareness and awakeness and of creativity. And you can step out from this moment in any direction you want. Do you want to go back in your cage? I don't want to see you go back in your cage. We're going to step into that place of freedom again. If I hadn't broken my toe, maybe I would jump off the stage like that, but I'm not going to do that. You can imagine that. And what happens is this. This is the tricky part of this spiritual philosophy, because that's the core of our teaching, is it's up to what we believe about ourselves. If you believe that, you know, like what the world has taught us is that we are limited, that we're broken, that there's something wrong with us, that we're not worthy. And whether that message came from family or from the experience or from the outside world or because blah, 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 whatever that is, we have carried this idea that we are not whole, perfect, and complete just as we are. And so because this the universe is a mirror to us, when we think that into being, it's going to bring us experiences that prove it to us. So the trick in this is that you need to find the place where you know the truth of who you are. We need to find that place within when we realize that none of these stories that we're telling about ourselves are true, and step into the fullness and the power that we are. And the only way that we can create freedom is by truly believing this, because life is going to reflect back to you to the level of that. So there's this whole idea of fake it till you make it and affirm it even if it's not true and blah, 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 all of that stuff. But let me tell you what's going to happen is if you half believe that you might be okay, you're going to get experiences that reflect back to you that you're half okay. You know? And unfortunately for us, it means we need to take the leap of faith. You need to find the place where you believe it and take that leap. Be courageous enough to jump, to know the truth of who you are, because then the universe can catch you. And when we do that and we step out, doors open, synchronous that we could never see. It's like the doors in that, you know, those secret panels in the, you know, mystery movies, in the castle in the mystery movie, that secret door. They're right there. We just can't see them. Doors of opportunity and possibility. Synchronicities happen where someone shows up that you, how did I know that? How did you know that I needed whatever? And there they are. You know what? It's because God knows. And when we believe it, we can see it differently. We can see life differently. And we can see what wants to come forward to us. It also means, so God turns to us as we turn to it. That's a famous concept, right? That as we turn to God, God turns to us. And so it's true. But we can't half turn. We're going to do a tangle with the divine. You got to be facing straight to start, at least, before you start spinning around with God. This life is a divine dance, and the infinite is our partner. And we have to be present with it enough. So what that means is that in order to get to this place of understanding, we have to have a way of connecting with the one. We have to have a way of turning away from this world of limitation and opening to the world of possibility. And that's our spiritual practice. Finding that place of stillness, doing some meditation, prayer work instantly connects us to something greater. Finding the place where you are fed and inspired and moving in that direction, it's important to pause in that hamster wheel of our life and say, okay, God, this time is for us. Alice was a great lover of Rumi and the ecstatic poets. She introduced them to me 20 years ago. And from that perspective, you are the divine lover of God's soul. You are the beloved of the beloved. And so how do we treat our relationships? If we want to deepen our relationship, if we want to expand it and deepen it and create a relationship that is wonderful, again, we've all been in a relationship with someone, whether it's a friend, a lover, a wife or a husband or whomever, you need to spend some time on it, right? You can't be best friends and not have any acknowledgement. And so we're called to deepen our relationship with God. And when we do that, all of this idea of limitation falls away. Again, Ernest Holmes says, life is a mirror and will reflect back to the thinker what he thinks into it. And Rumi said this, you were born with wings. Why prefer to crawl through life? So the last thing was, and I could speak on her forever, but the last thing that I came up with for today was that you have to truly believe what you believe. I know that sounds really simple and stupid, but it's true, and it's profound when you spend some time with it. This is a non-negotiable, and it's probably the biggest lesson I learned, that we're not playing at this, and this is not a game. Spiritual principles and spiritual concepts and God is more real than anything that you can touch in your life. Now, of course, there's a balance to that, which is we also have to stop taking ourselves so seriously. That joy is the natural state of our being, and we need to find a way to integrate our belief with our actions without taking ourselves so seriously. That's why laughing at yourself is the best thing you could do. Taking some time to just really laugh at yourself. And I do that all the time. You should have seen when I broke my toe. I was at a girlfriend's house and I tripped over a little stool. It's my friend with four kids, and so she's got some littles that they need the stool to get into the refrigerator. And I just went straight over it, right? And I'm sitting there looking at my toe that's going the wrong direction. and I was so shocked by it that I couldn't stop laughing, and she couldn't tell whether I was in pain or whether I thought it was funny. But I was in both because it was ridiculous that I broke my toe on the first day of a two-week vacation where I planned to like work out every day, and I was gonna like go all over North Carolina and sightsee and do everything, and it was my driving foot, and I'm like, oh no, you know. And so I thought it was so ridiculous, and so we laugh at ourselves. I could get mad and blame myself, and I ruined everything. I didn't. I hobbled everywhere we went, and I finally stopped hobbling the other day, but that's why I'm wearing flip-flops. Everybody who knows me knows that I like wearing my nice shoes on stage, so I'm sorry I'm wearing my flip-flops today, but I have a week or so left before I do that. So this is the thing. You cannot think or know that you are a child of God and berate yourself within your own mind constantly. You cannot think that you're part of the one infinite mind and think that you're dumb. We can't go through life judging ourselves that way and still believe what we believe. If we believe that we are part of the divine creation, then you can no longer hold those negative beliefs about yourself. You can't do it. We need to live the life that we've come here to live, and we need to believe the truth that we've come here to believe. It's the gift of God that we have choice in this. So you have a choice whether you want to create suffering and pain and separation and difficulty and challenge and all of those things, or you can live in the flow of the divine life and create joy for yourself. That is what we are here to do. So if you believe that this is a spiritual universe and that we're under the rule of spiritual laws and principles, then you need to live by them. And realize that all the junk that's happening out in the world is the effect of people's choices from fear, from limitation, from separation. It's just the effect. And so what we know is that the power is in the cause, it's in the choice. And we can choose differently. And as we each begin to choose differently, then things start to change. They start to evolve because we are living life fully. So my main message today about having a heart as great as the world is this. We're here to step into the fullness of who we are. We're here to share our spiritual magnificence. We've been taught in this life that we're small, that we're broken, that we're not worthy, but that's just not true. We are a divine gift made manifest, and you have come to experience a dazzling, joy-filled, magnificent life. And so I thought I would close with a reading from Pablo Neruda that beautifully says this. You start dying slowly if you do not travel, if you do not read, if you do not listen to the sounds of life, if you do not appreciate yourself. You start dying slowly when you kill your self-esteem, when you do not let others help you. You start dying slowly if you become a slave to your habits, walking every day on the same paths, if you do not change your routine, if you do not wear different colors, or you do not speak to those you don't know. You start dying slowly if you avoid to feel passion and its turbulent emotions, those that make your eyes glisten and your heart beat fast. You start dying slowly if you do not change your life, when you are not satisfied with your job or with your love or with your surroundings, if you do not risk what is safe for the uncertain, if you do not go after a dream, if you do not allow yourself at least once in your lifetime to run away from sensible advice. And so I want you to close your eyes for a second and take a breath and find that place within where you know that God is the truth of your being. I know it's in there. And with each breath, allow that to grow and fill you. You could give it a color. You could feel it. Let it grow until you are completely filled with that divine essence and presence. Let it move out from beyond the boundaries into the space around you, so you're sitting in this bubble of your divine essence. And simply know that this is the truth of your being. And if we can live and move and have our being in this, our heart will be as great as the world. And so it is.
Thank you.